The Old Testament reading for the 26th Sunday after Pentecost is from Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, which has never been seen since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them in their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he.' They will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumor of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them." And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the older I get, and I know some of you are like, "Oh, you're not that old." I get it. But the older I get, the faster time seems to fly. And somebody last night had a wonderful analogy that it's like a toilet paper roll you know what I'm saying. The toilet paper, the faster that it comes off, the faster that it goes at the end. I think that's true. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is already next weekend, or next week. Advent services begin after that, then we have Christmas, right? Then we have New Year's, and so on and so forth, and time just keeps going, marching on and on, whether we like it or not, time flies by. And so it is with the seasons of the church year. We have the cyclical church year, and we now are at the end of the year for the church year. This Sunday and next Sunday, these next two Sundays, are the last two Sundays of the church year. We are in the last days, the end times, quite literally, like we are living in those last days, those end times, but also in the church year, this is when we are focusing on those events. As we prepare for Judgment Day, the glorious day when Christ will return in all of his glory, to finally have our redemption at his hand as we look up and we see him coming. The time that he has promised, that he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So in Mark chapter 13, our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is telling his disciples, and then by extension us, he is telling about the future. He is prophesying about the future, what is going to happen, and quite honestly, his prophecy sounds pretty dark. War, earthquakes, false teachers, false messiahs, persecution, family turmoil and strife. Seems real doom and gloom kind of stuff towards the end. But, as we are about to see, Jesus also provides great hope and tremendous comfort with these words in Mark chapter 13. So when Jesus spoke these words, the words of our text this morning, this was Tuesday of Holy Week, Tuesday right before Holy Week. So in just 3 days, Jesus will be nailed to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And so he is exiting the temple. He, Jesus being the temple, is exiting the temple for the last time before he offers his sacrifice for the sins of the world. And this temple, built at the behest of Herod, King Herod, was a marvelous sight to behold. Truly, one of the ancient wonders of the ancient world. It was magnificent. So the disciples are standing there just in sheer awe and about the majesty of this building. And so one of the disciples, probably Peter, because that's how Peter does things, right? It was probably Peter, who knows? He just chimes in, "Look, teacher, look, Jesus, what a wonderful, all these stones, what wonderful buildings." But Jesus responds to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down, topple one on another." So Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching you this morning, that there are things that will endure, and there are things that will not endure till the end. And we need to focus on the things that endure till the end. Herod's temple, all of those beautiful carved stones, the great majesty of this human achievement will not endure till the end. It will be toppled over. Think of the greatest human achievements, the greatest human advancements that you could think of, none of it will endure till the end. It will all be toppled over. It will all be destroyed. And of course, Jesus is right. The fulfillment of his prophecy is fulfilled in 70 AD when Jerusalem is destroyed, sacked and destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. But when Peter, James, John, and Andrew heard Jesus talking this way about the temple, they pull him aside privately and say, "When? We want to be ready. When will these things happen? Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to be accomplished?" Now, the parallel account in Matthew 24 gives us some insight and some help as to what's, it's a bit clearer for us. When will these things be, and what is the sign of your second coming, or the coming at the end of the age? So really, there's two questions that are being answered in both Matthew 24 and here, Mark 13. The first is, when, Lord, will that temple be destroyed like you said? And then two, the second question is, when will the second coming happen, the coming of the age? And so Jesus, the first answer is answered in 70 AD, it's destroyed. But the rest of the sermon then and the rest of the text talks about what's going to happen when that final day, the end day, comes. So hopefully that makes sense. So as doomy and gloomy as Jesus' prophecy is, and it might sound here, it's important that we note that Jesus' heart remains full of concern and full of comfort for his dear disciples, and full of concern and full of comfort for you 2,000 years later after he has made this prediction. So Jesus tenderly warns, he says, see to it that no one leads you astray. Many are going to come in my name, saying, I am he. Follow me. Listen to what I have to say. I'm Jesus, or I am the Messiah. And they will lead many astray. So Jesus warns that false teachers, false teaching, false doctrine, going against Scripture, it's going to come. Sadly, many people are going to follow that, and they're going to listen to that, and they're going to believe those lies, but not for you. Those false teachers, those false messiahs, this false doctrine, these lies will not endure till the end. They will not. So Jesus warns for us to avoid them. These are dead ends. They're not going to lead you to the path of righteousness. They will only leave you empty and hopeless when that final end does come, when Christ returns in his glory. Then he says, you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed. Comfort, right? Do not be alarmed. These must take place, but the end is not yet. Jesus warns that there are going to be wars as time marches on. If you remember, some of your history folks, you remember what World War I was supposedly supposed to be and what it was called? It was called the War to End All Wars, right? And then what happened just 2 decades later? World War II happened. So clearly it was not the end of all wars. And we've had many since 1945. We have wars going on right now, don't we? Wars. Rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed. These will continue to happen, but they will not endure till the end, Jesus says. Then he says, nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So you remember the great Roman Empire that was so mighty and powerful in Jesus' day, the mighty Roman Empire that came into Jerusalem and sacked and destroyed the temple in 70 AD. Where is that empire now? Gone. On the ash heap of history. You have to read about it in your history books because it's gone. The greatest nations, the greatest kingdoms, the greatest of empires, and yes, even these great United States of America will not endure to the end. Earthly kingdoms will not endure. They come and they go, and Jesus warns us of that. Neither will earthquakes or famines endure till the end. He says there's going to be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines, but these are the beginnings of the birth pains. There's something more that's going to happen. Something far greater is coming, he says. So don't be alarmed. Don't be anxious. Various natural disasters like earthquakes, famines, you might even throw in pestilences like COVID-19. Or should something like that happen again, it will not endure to the end, Jesus says. So he warns then, be on your guard. They will deliver you over to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the gospel must be first proclaimed to all nations. Well, that sounds scary to me. Being interrogated by governors and kings and councils and synagogues, having your very life threatened for believing and preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ, that certainly sounds like that's got to be the end, right? When that happens, that's got to be it. But it's not, Jesus says. These things will not endure. Governors, kings, councils, synagogues, they will not endure till the end. They are not the ultimate, the final thing. So Jesus then comforts. This is verse 11 of our gospel reading. When they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand about what you are to say. Whatever is given to you in that hour, say whatever is given to you in that hour, because it's not you who is speaking, it is the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Tremendous comfort. Then Jesus says, brother will deliver brother over to death. Father, his children. Children will rise up against parents, even putting them to death. Family turmoil, family strife. There will be such hatred for Christ that people will undermine their own flesh and blood family. Unbelievers, unbelieving brothers, will turn in, will rat out the believing brother. Parents, children, turning each other in for the sake of the faith, even to the point of death, they will do it. It's horrifying to imagine. But even this will not endure till the end. You will be hated for my name's sake. That one stings too. No one wants to be hated, right? Of course we don't want to be hated for our faith in Jesus Christ, yet just as certain as there will be wars, earthquakes, false messiahs, family strife, faithful Christians will remain hated by the unbelieving world until the end. But that is why Jesus encourages and comforts us to remain steadfast and faithful. As doomy and gloomy as all of this sounds, as wars and earthquakes and false messiahs and persecution and family strife and the world's hatred, all of these things, none of it will endure till the end. There is something more. There is something far greater than all of it. There is something that will endure till the end. Jesus said, you will be hated for my name's sake, but the one who endures till the end will be saved. So what is it that endures till the end? Who is it that endures till the end? Who will be able to stand when Christ returns in all of his glory, welcoming him as he returns to judge the living and the dead? For that, we turn to our epistle reading, Hebrews chapter 10. And if you have your handout, it'd be good if you want to grab that. I want to show you this. Starting at verse 12, so the second verse of Hebrews 10 that our assigned reading there. But when Christ had offered, what does it say, for all time, that will endure till the end, a sacrifice for sins. He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made his footstool, when he returns, and his enemies made his footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, his death on the cross, he has perfected for, here it is again, the second time, all time. He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified, those who are being made holy in the blood of Christ. So what is it that endures to the end? Christ, his sacrifice for your sins, and you being united to Christ through holy baptism will endure till the end. You will. Those who are in Christ and in that sacrifice for all time shall endure. As time goes on then, dear saints in Jesus Christ, dear believers in Christ, you can be confident, you can be fully assured that you have great hope an enduring comfort that you will endure till the end. You will be saved. Hebrews 10 again. This time I'm going to jump down to 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, be assured you have confidence to enter the holy places. How? By the blood of Jesus, Christ's sacrifice for your sins. By the new, not the old temple that has been destroyed, right? Not the old temple, but by the new and living way that he opened to us through the curtain. See the temple language? The curtain has been destroyed, that is, through Christ's flesh, his death on the cross. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in, here it is again, full assurance. Confidence, full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean, you're forgiven. You're clean of an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast that confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. He will do it. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, by the water and the word of holy baptism, Christ's once and for all time sacrifice is all yours. Your sins are forgiven. You are in. Believe it. Be confident in it. Be fully assured. Be comforted and strengthened. Hold fast. Hold fast to that confession of hope without wavering. Keep the faith. Endure till the end. Remain where he has placed you. Remain in his family, in your family. Remain in his word. Remain forgiven and sanctified in the one true Christian and apostolic church. So as time marches on, dear saints, don't be alarmed when you look around and you see all of these birth pains of the end. Jesus says, they're coming. We are in them. They're happening now. Don't be alarmed. They will not endure till the end. Because you have the promise of Jesus Christ. The one who endures till the end will be saved. For he who promised is faithful. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.